Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Here's what I want you to do as you take your seat and get your Bible out. By the way, if you haven't brought your Bible, you need to start bringing a Bible. I know that we put the verses on the overheads for those of you that didn't bring your Bible so that you can see for yourself what the Word of God has to say, but that's not the best way to learn the Word of God. The best way to learn the Word of God is for you to have your own Bible. In this church, when we're living in a society, in a social system, where the Bible is used less and only referred to as small little comments from time to time, in this church, we talk about the Word of God. And the reason for that is because this is a manual on how to live life, how to raise your children, how to love your husband or your wife. How to do business. Business people, listen to me. How to prosper in life. God wants to bless you in every area of your life. How to deal with your boss. How to deal with your relatives. That in itself is freaky. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so here the Word of God tells us how to do all of that. And if you don't know the Word of God, you need to get your Bible and learn where the Word is and where the Bible is and where the texts are that'll help you in certain times. It's very, very important for you to do. We've been going line upon line and precept upon precept in the book of Hebrews. We've been in it for a couple of months. We're only in the first chapter, only in verse number 3. It'll probably be another month before we finish verse number 3. We're in no hurry because it's so good. You know, when you're delighting in something and you're enjoying something, what's the hurry? Just enjoy it. You're not going anywhere, but we're learning the Word of God the way it needs to be. God wrote it that way so you could understand it that way. And we're looking at the Word of God, and there's 6 little words that we're talking about today that are absolutely phenomenal, that are life-changing words in the Word of God. May I read them to you out of Hebrews, starting in verse number 2, and then going to verse number 3, we'll see those words. But verse number 2, it says, "Has in these last days spoken by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things." Wasn't that a good message? "Through whom he also made the worlds." Wasn't that a good message? "Who being in the brightness of his glory." Man, wasn't that a message? Get those if you haven't got them, and I'll give them to you just as long as you'll listen to them. "And the expressed image of his glory, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that when he had himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high." Today, I want to talk to you about connecting with his expressed image. A lot of people don't know that when I put that up there, I'm really saying more than you understand. The expressed image of God is so important that Jesus Christ is the expressed image of the Father. If you just take the words EX off the word pressed, that's kind of like it is. He's pressed into a mold of exactly the way the Father is. And that's why Jesus makes a statement like this, doesn't he? He makes the statement that says, "Hey, the words that I spoke are not my words, but he that sent me. And when you see me," he speaks to his disciples, "you see the Father." He was the exact, expressed, molded and shaped right into that form. He was formed into the very image of who the Father is. And when you see Jesus, you see the compassion, you understand the faith, you understand the work, you understand the love, you understand the expression of the Father when you see Jesus. And it's so exciting for us to see because we are connecting, and that's the title of the message. We need to learn how to connect with the image of Jesus. Connecting with his image is so important. A lot of times people associate with his image, but don't connect with his image. Until you get past association and get into connection, there'll never be the fulfillment in your life that you're looking for. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. A lot of times we associate with Jesus. Until we connect with Jesus, in such a way that we are being conformed to his image ourselves, we never get to where we need to be. For an example, I can attend this church in association with this church, but it isn't until I connect with the church that the church starts to become me, an expression of me. It isn't I can associate with my wife, but it isn't until I connect with her that she becomes me and I become her. And it's all about the connection. It's even with a power cord in your wall at home. You know, what runs off that power cord doesn't run off the power cord unless it's connected. If it's pulled out, it doesn't get the job done. Without a connection, man, there's just association. And we need to get past association. A woman came to me a couple of weeks ago, and she said to me in the grocery store, I was in the grocery store, and she says, "Oh, Pastor, it's good to see you." I said, "Great, I'm good to see you. Do you go to the Rock, huh?" She says, "Yeah, I do." She says, "I love that church." I said, "Oh, I'm so happy." I said, "How do you like Hebrews?" She said, "Well, I really, to tell you the truth, I haven't been in the church since the old building." Guys, that's 7 years ago. This is not her church. Has anybody figured that out? But she's still associating with it, but she's not connected to it. And oftentimes we associate with Jesus, but we're not really connected to Jesus. Now here we see that Jesus is the expressed image of the Father. That Jesus is connected to the Father. Now the interesting part about this is a little verse I want to read to you that can be a little bit misunderstood at times, if I can take you to Romans in the 8th chapter. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it says it like this. Let's go there together. In verse number 29 of Romans, the 8th chapter, remember verse number 28, it says, "We know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose," talking about you understanding something. In verse 29, he makes this statement, For whom he foreknew. Did you know that God saw you before the foundation of the world? That God saw you before Jesus ever went to the cross? That Jesus went to the cross and saw you, knew you'd be in this place, knew you'd be at this time. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. Some of you don't know this. Wait a minute. Who are you that God saw you before the world was ever formed? Before Adam and Eve ever fell in sin, God knew you'd be in this place at this time. That is an amazing thing. Ephesians 1st chapter, verse number 4. In other words, before anything goes on, he says, before he who he foreknew, he also predestined to do what? To be conformed to the image of his son. That God is wanting to conform you and I into the image of Jesus as Jesus is conformed and really was placed in the mold of the Father. As Jesus is in the Father, we're in the Son. And here he comes along and uses the word conformed. Have you ever noticed the word conformed means he's moving you, he's manipulating, he's shaping you into being like Jesus. That's what the word Christian really means, by the way. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here's Jesus, the firstborn, but who's the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth, millionth, 2 millionth, 3 millionth? Somewhere along the line, there's you because of him. But instead of us just associating, we need to connect with that image. Jesus connected with the image of the Father, but we, the church, haven't connected with the image of the Son. We are in association with the Son, and yes, we're going to go to heaven because we're born of the Spirit of God, but until you're connected, you will never do what you need to do. Is anybody listening? And connection is a funny little word. A connection is that God wants to conform you into the image. He doesn't want to leave you the way you are. He doesn't want to leave you at the place that you're at. He doesn't want you just to come along, be saved, and go to heaven and never do anything. There's a plan, a purpose. God saw you before the foundation of the world. My goodness sakes alive, if he saw you before the foundation of the world, your existence on this planet is not a surprise to God. And if it's not a surprise to God, oh, God has a purpose for you. And if God has a purpose for you, and it's to be conformed into the image of the Son, that's why Jesus said, I go to the Father, and I send you the Holy Spirit, and the things that I did, you will do even what? Greater. But you'll never do those great things if you're not connected and just associated. And most people that call themselves Christians live their whole life in association with Jesus, never with a connection with Jesus. And like the Father was connected to the Son and the Son to the Father, we need to be connected to the Son in such a way that we live our life that way. Is anybody listening? Because without it, we don't make it. Three things God gave me to share with you when we connect. And so important for us to see that when we connect, there's some things that happen. When we really connect and not just associate, there's some things that take place in your life and in my life that changes the whole world that we live in. It changes our family. It changes our home. It changes how we think. It changes what we do. And when we connect, here's number one. We now, all of a sudden, we find ourselves that we can see. We can see Him. Here is God wants us to see Him. Did you know you don't see with your eyes? No. You see with your heart. I've never seen Jesus, but I see Him every day. I see Him in my life. I see Him in my home. I see Him in my marriage. I see Him in the things that are troubling to me. Sometimes there's things that are frustrating. Sometimes there's things I don't know how I'm going to work through. I see Jesus in these things. And when you can see Jesus, oh, all of a sudden things work great. In fact, you will find that, I don't know about you, but I love to see. I don't like going around in the dark. Debbie and I, in the middle of the night, you know, oftentimes I'll get up. It just kind of like goes with the age. I got to do that thing. Deborah's in bed. I don't want to wake her up. She's snoring like a little pig over there. And don't you tell her I said that. And I just like her to sleep, so I got up one night, and it was just as dark as it could possibly be. Room was pitch black. I creeped out of bed. All my bones started to make noise, and all the joints started to pop. And I got into the towards the bathroom, and the door's closed. Bang! Deborah jumps up. Get the gun! What's that? Get the gun! Debbie, it's just me. I'm going to the bathroom. What are you making so much noise about? I want to see. I want to know. I want to experience that. Get the gun. What's get the gun? You're a woman of faith. I've always said, you break into my house, I shoot you. Then I pray for you. If you're dead, I'll try to raise you from the dead. But if you don't get raised, oh well, what are you doing in my house? I said that the last service, a guy walked up to me, gave me his card. He's a gun dealer. Can you believe that? Now, I don't know if that's very spiritual on my part or not, but you know, God's still working on me yet. I know you would have somebody walk in your house in the middle of the night, you'd say, oh, perfect, someone I can witness to. Could you please just raise your hand? In the dark, man, I'm going to shoot you. But I like the light that God shines and causes me to see in the darkest of places, in the darkest of times, when my heart's the heaviest, when things don't work the way I want them to work, or they don't seem to be working out, I can see Jesus in it. And that's what I was talking about. When you're really connected to the image, you're really connected to the person, Jesus. Not just an association, but a connection. All of a sudden, life starts to change. Listen to what the Word of God says. It's so cool. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in verse number 4, says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. See, blinding starts with the mind. You ever talk to someone, they say, I just don't get it. You know what they're really saying? I really can't see what you're saying. And the God of this age has blinded them from seeing something. And it goes on, it says, who do not believe, lest the light, I love the light, of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Isn't that what John was saying in the first chapter, starting in verse number 4, just popping up on the overhead? It says, in him was a life, and the light was the light of men. And in verse number 5 comes along and explains it more. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And when you and I connect with Jesus, we start to see like we've never seen before. We start to, hear me now. We start to see past the natural into the supernatural that makes life, an adventure. That makes life exciting. All of a sudden, I start to see something that wasn't there before. Because why, I'm now connected to the image. I'm connected to the very image of the Father, who is the Son. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, we're talking about seeing. Here's Ananias. He has an assignment from God to go talk to a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You know Saul because his name is really Paul the Apostle. That's what his name was. Saul of Tarsus. He was a head of a synagogue. He's on his road to Damascus to persecute the church. And God appears to him. And when God finishes, he doesn't see God. It's just a blinding light and he's blind. And Ananias goes to tell him something, has the assignment to go tell him. And here's the things that Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, who was going to become Paul the Apostle. Why? Because he got connected with God and he could see the future. Verse number 14 of the 22nd chapter says, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, Saul, that you should know his will and see the just one. And hear the voice of his mouth. That goes for every one of us. Every day we can see Jesus. When the traffic stops you, you can see Jesus. You know that he's all under control. He's got it all. When things aren't working right, the job doesn't look very secure. When you've listened to CNN or Fox News or something, they've just vomited their worry and garbage all over you and your family and your future. You can see Jesus in it. May I suggest you just get off of that stuff. And here to see him, see the just one. You have a right when you connect with God to see him. How exciting is that? The rest of the world walks around blind. They just don't get it, even though they act like they get it. Number two, when we connect. When we connect, number two, we will start to live life. When you connect, you used to be dumb, now you're smart. You used to be blind, now you can see. You used to not hear, but now you can hear. You had no hope, you had no future. You were down, and now you can be up. You were a loser, now you're a winner. You were failing, and now you have victory. My goodness sakes alive, all of a sudden there's a reason to live. There's a purpose. There's a destiny. There's a reason to be on the planet. God's alive, and my tomorrow is in his hands, and he's going to do great and mighty and marvelous things with it. And that's exciting, my friends. Exciting to know that I don't have to live a boring, dull life of being down and out, frustrated, wondering how life is going to work. I can be excited every day, no matter what, because my God is on the throne, seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm connected with him. And on this planet, I've got a reason, a purpose why he put me here. A purpose to do what he did and to live out life like he lived out life. Now, I'm not there yet, and neither are you, but we're all working for that. Isn't that exciting? A reason to live. I love the word of God in Colossians. It says in the first chapter, in verse number 14, just pop it up on the overhead for us. It says, in whom we have redemption through the blood. All of a sudden, there's your connection. The forgiveness of sin. Oh, there's a clearing away of the path of life. Nothing has to hold you back any longer. God has not only forgiven you, he's cleared the path for you to walk in. And Jesus is at the other end of the path, and he's saying, come on, I've already gone there. You can follow me. That's why he's called the captain of your salvation, because the captain is already gone. He's already done it. He's already fought the fight of faith. He's already moved it, and we're in him, and he's saying, come on. And verse number 15 says it like this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I can live life. I don't live life by what I have. I don't live life by material things. I live life by the Son of God who lives on the inside of me, the life giver himself, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Man, I don't have to be down, boring. I don't have to be depressed and discouraged. I don't have to be frustrated in life. I can live life to the fullest because I've got Jesus. I like what it says in Acts, the fifth chapter. Here we find in Acts, the fifth chapter, that Peter's been given an assignment. We're talking about living life to the fullest because you've now connected with Jesus. In the fifth chapter, verse number 20, it says it like this. Go stand in the temple, Peter. I've let you out of jail, is what he's just saying. And speak to the people all the words of his life. Man, I tell you what, you want life, and this is going to shock you. I'm going to say it. You want life, it's not in the education. It's not in how cool you are, or how hip you are, or how young you are, or how old you are. Not whether you're socially acceptable or not socially acceptable. You want life. Life comes when you connect with the image that you are in Christ and are being conformed to his image. Whew, that's life. Which brings us to the third point today. And I love this because we're talking about when we connect. When we connect. Not just have an association, but when we connect. Number one, remember, we will see him. Number two, we'll start to live life. Here's number three. We will have godly confidence. Your future is based, directed, and brought to pass by the level of your confidence in Christ Jesus. So many people have a little level. And here's what they do. They're going to get saved, they're going to go to heaven, and that's it. Other people may have an association, but those that are in Christ Jesus and know that their future is based on how big their God is. See, some people got little gods, little g. Oh, he's my Savior and he loves me. That's pretty big in itself, but he's a whole lot more than that. And most of the church stops there at just what he did at Calvary. Well, I'm going to ask you, you're going to find out, what in the world is he doing seated at the right hand of the Father all of these years? Why did he leave you if he saw you before the foundation of the world? Why are you still here? Could there be a plan? Could there be a purpose? Listen, everything you'll have in the future is determined by how much confidence you have in the connection that you have with Jesus. If you've got a little God, you'll have a little confidence. This church is built. It wasn't built by you. It's built because there was a big God. I mean, this is a $45 million building. It's cost us $22 million so far. And we're not finished. We still owe on it. Listen, we didn't have nothing when God said, build a building. Nothing. I said, God, maybe you misunderstand, God. I'm not Beverly Hills. I'm in San Bernardino. Am I hearing you right? You hear what I'm saying? It isn't built on money. It's built on the greatness of God. He makes that which cannot work, work. He takes the loaves and the fishes and multiplies them. We have every month barely gotten by, but we get by. Is that cool? That's what this is all about. Now, let me show you something. There's these verses in the Bible, most people don't want to think about it because they're too freaky. You know, there's some freaky things out there. There's some things in the Bible, I tell you the truth, it's like when you read them, I don't know what that really means. It couldn't really mean what it's really saying. So therefore, I'll just skip it and go to something I can understand. But there's a really good verse where Paul writes to the church at Philippi. And when he writes to the church at Philippi, these are believers, and he is saying something to the church at Philippi about your connection level. In Philippians, the second chapter, verse number 5, something goes on the Word of God, and it says it like this. Let's jump up there. It says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Stop. I want you to hear me now. Do you see the word let up there? The word let means it's your choice whether it happens or doesn't happen. He didn't say this mind will be in you. He said let this mind be in you. In other words, you've got to come to a place where you let it happen. And there's some kind of a thinking process that's going to go on. He says, I want the mind that Jesus had, who is, by the way, the image of the Father, and you're in the image of the Son. So therefore, the mind that he had needs to be in us. Is that not what he just said? I didn't write this. If I wrote the Bible, I'd collect the royalties. I'd be really rich. I didn't write this. I'm just talking to you about it. Let this, in other words, it's your option whether this is going to happen to you or not. Let this mind be in you, which was also, the word also means Jesus is in there, in Christ Jesus. What is he describing? Now watch this. Go to verse number 6. Who, being in the form of God, wait a minute, that image of his very person, being in the form, pressed into the form of the Father, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. See, he got real quiet because you're reading that and saying, that's freaky. But listen, I'm not telling you you are equal with God. Don't go out of here and make me some cultist. He said, I didn't say that. But he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the very image of the Father, did not consider it robbery to be equal with the Father. And that kind of a mentality that says, Jesus is Father, I'm in you, and you are in me, John 17th chapter. And then he comes along and he describes, and they are in me as I am in you. Whoa. And what I'm saying to you is connection. He's the head and you're the body. And if I'm going to be pressed into the image of who he is, not him being pressed into the image of who I am, I want you to get that. Did you get that? If I'm going to be pressed into the image of who he is, not him being pressed into the image of who I am, then my mentality must say that I have confidence as I am in Christ Jesus, being the body. Not arrogantly, not pompously, not boastfully, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, if he's the head and I'm the body, I am pressed into who he is, then I am, like he says, these words, I said them earlier to you, the things that I do, you shall do greater because I go on to the Father. Why would you do them greater? Because you're connected. Where? In him. And him is operating through you on this planet. If you don't get that connection, you will always stay in association. And you'll go to church and you'll sing songs from the 1700s and you'll listen to some organ concerto. You'll get some goosebumps. You'll learn the songs and you'll love them. And that's cool. But you'll walk out of this building and never be what God's called you to be. Never fulfill what God's called you to fulfill. I'm not talking about walking around in pride, thinking you're all that, because you're not. You're in Christ Jesus, and Jesus is all that, and you're connected to him. Not that he's there, and you're here. He's not there, and you're here. You're together, one together. And without that kind of a connection, in your thinking, you will always see yourself on the human point, human standpoint, and what you are and what you can accomplish based on your talents and your gifting and your looks. And nothing could be more perverted than that. So the level of your confidence is determined by how big your God is and how you're connected to him. He's not there and you're here. The Bible says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that's in you? The same Holy Spirit that was in Peter, Paul, James, John, same Holy Spirit that's in Billy Graham or Oral Roberts, same Holy Spirit's in you. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. He's the head. He's the boss. He's the direction giver. He's the anointed one. He's the one in the Father. But you are in him. And the same mind that Jesus had towards the Father, you and I have got to have towards the Son in order for us to accomplish the things that God has for us. And may I say this to you? Your future is based on your confidence level on how big your God is. Now, let me tell you something. Last week, I got a magazine. It doesn't mean anything to me. It does. I was nice. It's your church. I'll tell you about your church. Outreach Magazine said the Rock Church World Outreach Center in San Bernardino, California, is the 19th largest church in America. Out of 400,000 churches, hold on, let's don't pat ourselves on the back. That's purely the Father working through the Son. It's the largest church. There's only one larger in Southern California, and that's Rick Warren's. It's the largest church in Southern California outside of Rick's church. It's the third fastest growing church in America, according to Outreach Magazine. Now listen, I give a flip. I do love that because it's you. It's your church. How did that happen? How does that happen? Is Pastor David so cool on the piano? Is the 3,500 children that attend church here, are children's pastors so wonderful? They all are. There's a youth, 1,000 youth that come to church here. Is that so wonderful? Absolutely. But it's not about that. It's a confidence that our God is big. And can I tell you something? We have just started. We have just started. This is not stopping. It has nothing to do with me and my age. It has to do with how big he is. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with how big he is. How big is in your heart? I'm determined to pay this building off for the next generations. To come afterwards, that there'll be no bank ever dictating to this church what we do and say and how it is. I'm determined to do it. So I'm with God this morning, and here's what I figured out. I said, God, I got 7% of the people tithing. 93% of every person in here do not tithe. I've done everything, short of pulling your teeth, beating the snot out of you, slamming the doors on you. I've done everything I know how to do. It doesn't change. So God says, why don't you just think outside the box? So I went to my staff this morning. I said, we're starting an app. An app? Yeah, I want everybody to go on their iPhone, pop the app, and every day they have a 10-minute message, what they need. For the members of our church, it's absolutely free. But for everybody else, they pay. Did you know there's 2 million people every single day that hit Google to find out about God? 2 million worldwide. Every day. Somehow we're going to get there when they want to find out about God. You say, you can't do it. You're not smart enough. I know. I hire these kids out of fifth grade. They know how to do this stuff. You know what I mean? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you want your television fixed. Call your grandkids. How old are you, hon? I'm 8. Could you do my... Oh, yeah. There it is, Grandpa. So cool. Why? Because our confidence in who God is. What about your business? What about your families? What about your children that have gone astray? What about your finances? What about life? What about the problems you're facing? I know you're hurting on the inside, so many of you. You don't like yourself. And that's because you really are into yourself and haven't yet connected with the image of the Father. And when you connect with the image of the Father, you're no longer about yourself. You're now this great God working on your behalf. Today, God wants to change your purpose, change your destiny, change your families, change your life, give you hope. If God can use a fool like me, how much more can he use you? How much more? How much more? How much more? It's all based on how big your God is. Three things that we saw from 6 words. The 6 words are found in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, verse number 3. Just pop it up on the overhead, and it says, the expressed image of his person. 3 things. Number 1, we will see him. We will truly, number 2, start to live life. That's worth it right there. And number 3, you will have a new godly confidence in who he is that will take you somewhere you cannot even imagine. Doing things you never dreamt of. Being what you've never thought you could be. Saying what you've never thought you could say. Because he is a great God that does great things. If God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise the Lord. We do that. Woo! Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.